Good afternoon, sir, how are you? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, how are you doing? Can you hear me? How are you doing this afternoon?
I am doing okay.
All right.
Doing okay.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. So to my far right is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Woodenhouse. In the middle right here, to my immediate right, is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. And to my immediate left is the Honorable David Neal. And my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, sir. Also with the sir representing the Department of Correction as well as the Parole Office is Mr. Westby. I think you can see Mr. Westby on the screen now, sir.
I do, yes.
All right. Mr. Dela Cruz, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Do I recall receiving this form?
Yeah, signing the form notifying you of this board's hearing today.
Yes,
okay.
I did find it.
Okay, so on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney representing yourself today, sir?
Representing myself today.
All right, sir. This time, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Am I supposed to go up there for a minute?
Yeah, that's fine, sir. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Okay. Mr. Dela Cruz, your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of community supervision have been violated. And phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, Mr. Dela Cruz, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. The first allegation on your warrant states your violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about December 28, 2017 as verbally directed on December 11, 2017. Your whereabouts are unknown, thus you are absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
I gotta say that's false. Can I ask you if you got my letter that I sent you guys a couple of weeks ago?
Yes.
You did receive it?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, I didn't knowingly miss that appointment. When she said, I see you on the 28th, in my mind, you know, reporting once a month as I was for the last 7 months, I was speaking with her on December 11th, and in my mind, that was my monthly report. So when she said, I'll see you on the 28th, I'm thinking January 28th. But I was home at my address every single day, and I've never left that address, you know, not for one day. I did not count.
Okay,
as she said,
Mr. Dela Cruz?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I'm the letter to it. I said, did you manage to contact your mother, your sister, and your fiance?
I did, and they just changed you're obviously aware of them changing the time for this hearing, in which my mother was gonna try to get down here in the morning so she could get back to work by the afternoon. She's a healthcare provider. She's a certified nurse and administers medication to her clients.
Okay.
And from what I understand, she did have the morning open to be here, but had to be back in the afternoon to pick up with her clients. So that last minute change of the time kind of interfered with her being here at 8:30 in the morning, which I thought I was under the impression it was going to be at 8:30. My fiance, oh my God, yeah, she was, no car, no transportation, but she wanted to be here telephonically. She just didn't know how to go about going about the process on that.
So I got a number here for your fiance, Gloria Bustamante.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you want us to give her, try to give her a call? In the mom, you say, is that available, right?
My mother would be with her client working, and just as my PO indicated in her report, she did try to, my mom was my contact, emergency contact number, and,
okay.
You know, she had told me many times to not call me at work. I'm not allowed to receive personal calls in business hours, but,
if you really would appreciate that. Who do you think your message for? Girl?
Ms. Bustamante, this is the Arizona, this is Ms. Bustamante, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We're giving a call. We understood that you wanted to telephonically be on the hearing for Mr. Dela Cruz. We're holding that hearing now at this time. We were trying to contact you. If you get this message within the next 5 or 10 minutes, you can give us a call at 9656. Thank you. Okay, she's not answering the phone, so we did leave a message. She gets the message in the next 5 or 10 minutes. She can give us a call, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Mr. Dela Cruz, since you said that the allegation number one is false, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, and get some additional information on that.
On December 11th, 2017, the defendant reported to the Tucson Regional Parole Office for a scheduled and office report date. Prior to leaving the office, the offender was advised that his next report date would be December 28th, 2017. On December 28th, 2017, the offender failed to report to the Tucson Regional Parole as directed on December 11th, 2017. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, unless he's been absconded from supervision. On January 2nd, 2018, a letter to the report was dropped off to the offender's residence front door, directing the offender to report to see his assigned parole officer, Mata, on January 3rd, 2018, no later than 10 a.m. On January 3rd, 2018, the offender failed to report. On January 11th, 2018, this officer, being Kenya Mata, called the offender emergency contact monitor, Hortensia De La Cruz, no answer and no way to leave a message. On the same day, the offender was not listed as a patient at St. Mary's Hospital or being in custody at the Pima County Jail. This officer has no other way to contact the offender.
So, Mr. Dela Cruz, what's not true about that?
You know, when I was talking to my parole officer about December 11th, you know, I did not hear December 28th. I did not hear the month December. You know, I don't want to say that, you know, her statement is untrue. I did hear the 28th, and I'm pretty sure there was no December before that. I had just dropped the clean anyway. I believe it was on the 13th. I had no reason, you know, to hide or run or not want to see her. You know, I was doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. Had she said December, I would have been there December 28th, okay, with no problems whatsoever. I did not hear the December part of what she said. December 28th, I did not hear that. December, that is the honest, sincere truth.
Okay. All right, Mr. Dela Cruz, thanks. Okay, so based on the information in warrant number 2018W1064, and based on the information received from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, I am going to move to find that Mr. Dela Cruz was the lead and did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, but he may have lapses or about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Okay. Agree.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, sir, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then we're going to come back to you, Mr. Dela Cruz, and get some, go over some information and get any additional information that you may want to present to the board at that time, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Westby.
On May 24th, 2017, Mr. Dela Cruz was released from DOC. He was arrested January 21st, 2018 by Tucson PD. On due misdemeanor charge of disorderly conduct DV, criminal damage DV, in absentia warrant. He was back in DOC custody January 21st, 2018, with adjusted CCD of November 5th, 2019, 24 days. His current conviction, January 26th, 2005, aggravated criminal damage, March 9th, 3 years, 9 months. Prior conviction, 1987, aggravated assault, 5 years. 1987, armed robbery, 5 years. 1987, theft, 5 years. 1991, DWI, 2.5 years. 1994, leaving an accident with death or injury, 2 years, 3 months. 1998, burglary, 3 years. 2004, aggravated assault, 15 years, 9 months. This is his fifth term in DOC. CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision, 1990, temporary release completion, 5 months. 1992, temporary release, arrested on parole violation, reinstated by the BOEC, completed year CD, 8 months. 1995, temporary release, arrested on parole violation, revoked by the BOEC. 2000, TIS release of standard, 93 days, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Under arrest, 1984, trespassing, Arizona juvenile probation. 20 risk score is a G5V6. And I do have additional information regarding that staffing that he had on December 11th when he was directed to come in on the 28th, if you're like that.
Okay.
There is a criminal note here on December 11th, 2017 from Officer Mata, and it says staffing. The federal report is directed with his mother, Hortensia, residence 138 East Rodale. No alcohol used according to the offender. He self-admitted using meth on November 9th, 2017. According to the offender, he'd been using meth 5 times in his life. The offender refused the ITH program. Another opportunity was given to the offender by Senior Parole Officer Victor Settles. His UAs were increased to turquoise and report days as well. No medications, looking for employment, no other issues. Next report date, December 28th, 2017. Mr. Dela Cruz was originally maximum supervision, which he would be reporting every 2 weeks, and then because of his assessment, he got down to a medium. So he was put on a sanction on December 11th when Ms. Mata staffed us with her supervisor, Victor Sells, and because of the self-admission with the meth and refusing to go to an ITH program, the sanction was increased UAs and increased contacts, which is twice a month, which would make it December 28th.
Okay. Okay, so when you were released to see you, where did you stay? I believe that's your mom's address at 138 East Rodeo Drive?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and it said that you had reported that you were working for a labor system. Didn't it say that you worked for L&L Manufacturing Components? Were you working at the time, sir?
Initially, when I got out, I went to a temp service, and then a while later, I got a full-time job with L&L Manufacturing Components, and then we got laid off. It was a seasonal thing where they didn't make so much business around those that time of the year. And at the time when I went in to see parole officer Mata, it was December 7th, I had just got out of the hospital. I was in a bike accident. So I dislocated the collarbone. And no, I wasn't working at that time, but I was under doctor's orders to not to look for work until 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay. All right, well, that makes sense, sir. So, Mr. Dela Cruz, when you were released, you did a negative UA on May 26th, and then June 9th you had a negative UA, July 21st you had a negative UA, August 21st you were negative, September 13th you didn't have a sample collected, and then September 29th you were positive, you had a positive UA. Then it says that October 4th, they didn't collect the sample. October 23rd, they had no sample. And then on October 25th, you had a positive UA. And then November, you didn't have a sample collected. December 11th, you were referred to task. The new color of the day was assigned to you was turquoise. And then December 12th, no sample collected. December 11th, you were positive UA. December 13th, you had a positive UA. December 18th, you had a negative UA. Then on December 17th, you were referred to La Fontana. You were to return back to La Fontana, 502 West 29th Street, but you failed to complete and successfully complete that program there. And you were staffed by your PO monitor. You admitted back in November, using that. But you refused to go into the ITH program, which was a second opportunity that was given to you, because if you had those increased your UAs because of what was going on, sir. So why were you continually using, sir?
I had got involved with the wrong girl, Lisa, and five times I used it for the first time ever in my life. And then, as I stated in my letter, I excluded her from my life completely. The positive ways that I did drop, I was forthcoming with the truth with my parole officer, and I guess she respected that enough to, give me, the two chances. And she said, the third time's your, three strikes and you're out. She goes, I need you to get back on track and, I need you to drop these UAs and, get your priorities in focus again. And, they said if they give me the third chance, to get back on track, that they were going to remove the opportunity to go to SACRAC. They said, you will not have an opportunity to go to SACRAC if we give you this third chance to get back on track. So I guess they told me I was waiting my opportunity to ever go to SACRAC because I wanted this third chance to prove to them that I could do this. And all she wanted was for me to get back on track, and she goes, I need those negative UAs. I need you to come clean. And I did. I got back on track, and I got excluded that girl Lisa from my life, which was the core root of my problem using. If with that clean UA that I dropped on on the 18th, I had no reason not to go and see my parole officer. I did not hear the December, I heard the 28th. In my mind, I'm thinking January. I guess the confusion on my part was, yes, they did give me another color, which had me dropping twice a month. But my confusion was, they also increased the time that I was supposed to see her from once a month to twice a month. And that's a part of the conversation I was having with my parole officer that day that I didn't quite it didn't register completely, or I just misunderstood it. But, and I know I was supposed to be there on December 28th. With my clean UA, I sure would have been there. I would have no problem.
Well, Mr. Delacruz, it looked like the PA was doing all that they could to work with you. They referred you to two separate programs, and each time you refused to go on those programs. So even if the downfall in your letter was the girl that you were dating who got you to use the meth, and you started to use that, but, you know, you turned down two efforts to actually participate, and according to the crime notes, the PO spoke to you on the 11th, reference to changing your color, as well as you reported to the PO more often, twice instead of once, and you didn't report to the PO, and yet you still had positive UAs after the 11th. You had one on the 13th that was positive, then on the 18th you had one that was negative, and the 17th, just before that, they referred you to a program. And you failed to complete successfully complete that program, and then even after that, sir, they
just for certification, the first program that they wanted me to go to was anger management to the Frontera, and when I did go into to the orientation process, I got interviewed by a caseworker there. She asked me a lot of questions about my anger, and I told her that while in prison, I have taken, you know, every anger class possible. And she made her assessment that I didn't have an anger issue, and she said this is a very, the facility was for a criteria of people who were at a certain level. Anyway, she wrote a statement on a piece of paper saying I did not fit the criteria to be there at their program, which I gave to my PO. And with that letter from the Frontera saying I did not fit the criteria to get counseling there, that was, I guess, a big issue with my parole officer because she never asked me to do another anger management. The other program, the opportunity that you talk about, is about the meth. And at the time I told you I got out of the hospital from that bike accident, I went in there, I went for the orientation and assessment, the interview, and they did ask me if I was taking medication, which I was prescribed from the hospital. So they had asked me to come back, and they wanted to drop a UA. They said, you can't have any medication in your system, so we need you to come back in a week or so, or a week and a half or something. And she goes, without the medication in your system, but I mean, I did not, the anger management, I didn't fit the criteria to be there, and it was never brought up again as an issue with my parole officer. After she got that letter,
Mr. Delacruz, according to the notes that I got, and I can ask Mr. Westby, is there anything in the difference? It just says that the PO verified that you failed to successfully complete the program, sir. And then the other one, that he refused to go into the other program. That's what it says. Mr. Delacruz, I'm assuming the board has any additional questions for you, sir.
Sir, just real quick, on the 30 UA, on the 11th and the 13th, those are both from the same time as I explained to my parole officer on the 11th. She had changed my color, and the turquoise color came up like 2 days later, and I called her up and I said, you know, after we talked that I was dirty on the 11th, so, you know, me dropping again 2 days later, I'm still going to be dirty from that day of the 11th, and she goes, yeah, that's not a problem. She said, don't worry about that. We know it's they're both as of one.
So, Mr. Delacruz, you were staying with your mom, and the PO put a letter on your mom's door. Are you trying to say you didn't get that letter? You weren't notified?
Sir, it's literally impossible for anybody to have access to that front door. As I wrote in my letter, we have a locked gate and a pet bull, Milo, and my mom was present on telephone right there. She would tell you, gate has a padlock on it, and the pit bull Milo is right behind that gate, nobody. It's impossible for her to have put anything on the front door. There's no way anybody has access to that front door.
Okay, well, maybe she put it on the gate if you had the dog there so they couldn't get inside. So maybe they put it on the gate, but let me see if the board has any additional questions from you, Mr. Dela Cruz. Mr. Westby?
Regarding the thing with La Frontera, I've been reviewing the criminals for this PO, and it says that he was attending La Frontera regarding his meth use, not for anger management, so I don't understand. He's stating that it was for anger management, and I'm saying it was due to his relapse.
The first one was for anger management, and then there was a second time that I went back to La Frontera. It was probably a month or so apart. But initially, she asked me to go get counseling for anger management, only because it was recommended from her supervisor. Yes, I did bring her back a letter from the Frontera, which she has a copy of, and it says that I did not fit the criteria to receive counseling there. They did not, there was no indication of any anger issues or...
But Mr. Dela Cruz, didn't you just say that the first time she sent you for anger management, the second time she sent you for meth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's the time that we're referring to. So, and then she also sent you to ITH for drug abuse and youth fraud to complete that program too, sir. But, Mr. Dela Cruz, is there anything else you want to say to this board prior to the board going into discussion? While we're in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision, sir.
Sir, I just want to reiterate on the fact that, you know, the parole officer, she asked me to get back on track. She says, you know, if you start dropping me, clean you away, you know, this is what I need from you. And I did. I got back on track. I dropped the clean you away. And, you know, there was a misunderstanding on my part on 28th. You know, I am, you know, I apologize for that. I did not intentionally miss that appointment. In my mind, I was sincerely under the belief that it was on January.
So what was the domestic violence criminal damage that you were arrested with Tucson PD for, sir?
Okay. Those charges were dismissed, unfounded, because I lived at the residence. That was at my house. The key set that I had didn't have the key on there, but, you know, electricity and everything's under my name. I just pushed the door open. I didn't have the key on that keychain. It's my mom's property. She owns both houses. But the charges were dismissed, unfounded. Sir, I was doing so good out there, you know. I mean, with my clean UA that I got back on track, just like my parole officer asked me to do. I mean, it was just a miscommunication on my part on the 28th. I would have most definitely been there. If I had heard December, and I, you know, I don't want to say that the parole officer was being untruthful, but I had no reason not to show up with her. It was just wholly a misunderstanding, a miscommunication on my part on the 28th.
Okay. So the board's going to go into a discussion. I'm going to ask you to stay on the phone, Howard, to remain silent while you're on the phone. You'll be able to hear the discussion taking place with the board. We're going to make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision at this time. So please stay on the line and remain silent. The board's in discussion. Mr. Dela Cruz, this is not his first time having to have come before this board. He had 92 a parole violation, 95 he had a parole violation, and I think in 92 he had a parole violation, he was reinstated, 95 he was revoked, 98 he was an absconder. So he's aware of what the process is and how the system's working. And it appears that this PO was doing everything that they could to work with him with the number of missed UAs that he actually had, as well as the positive UAs that he actually had. His PO was working with him to get him. The PO tried to put him into Lafontaine for this continued use of meth. Then he turned around, the PO then decided to try to give him a second chance and put him into an ITH program, and another opportunity, and he didn't complete that. He refused that program, and then, you know, he had this arrest that he had for domestic violence, although Mr. Dela Cruz says that all those charges were dismissed. It was a criminal damage that he had. He lived at the house. It was owned by his mom. I don't know what the details are exactly what happened, but it did cause for the Tucson Police Department to come out, and it looks like he was subsequently arrested and did go to trial. As he says, it was dismissed. I don't know what the exact circumstances, but based on all of the information in warrant number 2018W1064, as well as information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, as well as having the opportunity to speak with Mr. Dela Cruz, I don't see Mr. Dela Cruz being a good candidate to be released again out on community supervision based on his past history and the use of meth. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Dela Cruz, finding he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or about to lapse into criminal ways or company, as he did relapse and begin to use drugs, and he had refused to participate in two separate programs that his PO was trying to put him in.
Second.
Revoke your community supervision, so you will be released on November 5th of 2019, sir. I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing today, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time.
Okay, you guys have a great day. I know I will. Thank you.
Thanks.